Good morning, and I thank you for being with us on the Let the Bible Speak program. It's always a joy to be able to study the Word of God with you this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 as we conclude this morning our series of lessons that we've entitled Conversion Questions. We've been looking at some cases of conversion in the book of Acts, individuals who were converted to Christ. They heard the gospel, they obeyed it. It always culminated in baptism for the remission of sins, and they were baptized into Christ. The Lord added them to the body of the saved, and they rejoiced having had forgiveness of sins. And so what we call these cases of conversion in the book of Acts is a great study. And we've been looking at some questions that come up in looking at these cases of conversion. In particular, we're asking questions about things that were said and done in these cases of conversion. And when we look at these questions and these situations, we find that they are in opposition to what is being said and done today in the religious world with regard to baptism. Today, baptism is not essential in some denominations. You're saved by faith only, or you're saved right after saying the sinner's prayer. Baptism is not a part of the plan of salvation. It's something that you need to do later down the line as a Christian, but you don't need to do it in order to become a Christian. And so I ask these questions. And when I do, it brings home the Bible truth of the matter. And we can see the Bible truth in contrast to various denominational errors. We ask the question in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, why did Peter say, save yourselves from this crooked generation? We ask the question in Acts chapter 8, why did the Ethiopian eunuch command the chariot to stand still? Acts 8:38. We ask the question in Acts chapter 9, why did the Lord send Ananias to Saul of Tarsus? In our lesson last week, we noticed in Acts chapter 10, why was Cornelius told to send for Peter? And we want to conclude this morning by looking at the case of conversion of 12 men in Ephesus. And we ask the question in verse 5, Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, why did Paul baptize these 12 men who had already been baptized? That's a great question. It's the only time that I know of in Scripture where people were baptized again. Why is that? So let's answer that question this morning, and I hope that our study, not only today, but over the past few weeks on conversion questions has been beneficial and helpful to you. If you missed any of those lessons, or any of the Let the Bible Speak lessons, they're all on our website, wbcoc.org. That stands for Wardfield Boulevard Church of Christ. wbcoc.org. And you can get all of our Let the Bible Speak programs, other sermons, and other material there for your Bible study. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, Luke records that it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples, and he said unto them, did ye receive the Holy Spirit when ye believed? And they said unto him, no, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. and they were in all about 12 men. So we find that they had been baptized into John's baptism, but Paul baptized them into the name of the Lord Jesus. Why is that? So that's our question this morning. It will involve talking a little bit about John's baptism, and it will involve talking about the baptism that Jesus commissioned right before going back into heaven that would be for all people of all time. So in looking at Acts chapter 19, we find that Paul found some disciples of John the Baptist on his return visit to Ephesus, and he told them to be baptized into the name of Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, this is the only case of rebaptism recorded in the New Testament. So we ask the question, why was there the need for them to be rebaptized, and who needs that today? Friend, you may be listening today, and maybe you were baptized in the past, but now hearing the Bible truth of the matter, you need to do that again. We would encourage you to do that, and I would be glad to help you do that. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about the baptism of John the Baptist. Of course, we know that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, and he started preaching about 6 months before Jesus. And the baptism of John lasted until the baptism of Jesus was prescribed and authorized in the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Jesus told his apostles to go in all the world and preach the gospel and baptize those individuals. And so that is the baptism that Jesus prescribed in what we call the Great Commission for all mankind. Now, if you take the death of Christ and you use a traditional date of 33 AD, for example, Jesus died on the cross. Sometime after that, not long after that, he ascends back into heaven. And right before he does that, he gives this Great Commission. So the Great Commission, let's use the date of AD 33. The story here in Acts chapter 19, the account takes place years later, around AD 55. So maybe 22 years after the Great Commission. So what we find here then is, before we look at anything else, that Paul is saying that the baptism of John is no longer valid after the Great Commission. Now, what is interesting about this is, about 5 years after this incident, Paul is going to write to the Ephesians in what we call the book of Ephesians, around 60 AD. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, he's going to talk about one baptism. That is the baptism in water for the remission of sins that was commissioned by Jesus. So, one baptism. So, we find about 22 years after the commission of Jesus, the baptism of John is no longer valid. If it were, we wouldn't be reading about this rebaptism. What they had done with John would have been fine for their current situation, but it was not. So, these 12 men had been baptized, but not in the manner prescribed by Jesus in the Great Commission. Mark 16, 15 and 16, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And so they need to be baptized into the name of Jesus, into the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 5. So why is that? Well, let us look a little bit this morning at the baptism of John and its purpose, and that will help us to answer this question. And then we will look at the baptism of Jesus' Great Commission. When you look at the baptism of John, it's mentioned in some detail at the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we find, first of all, that the authority for John's mission and baptism was from God. In John 1 and verse 6, we read, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He was given authority by God to preach the word of God." What he is doing is in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, a voice crying in the wilderness. So he is clearly doing this by God's authority, not his own. In the second place, when you look at the element of John's baptism, it was water. Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance," and so forth. And we find that the act of John's baptism was immersion. First of all, baptism itself means immersion, to immerse or to dip, to go all the way under the water. But by implication, we also know that it was immersion because of some things that were said related to his baptism. For example, Matthew 3:6, "And they were baptized of him in the river Jordan." Why do that if you simply need to sprinkle or pour water on someone? They need enough water in a river to immerse someone. In John 3:23, we read, "John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was much water there." Well, why say that? Why go there? Because you need enough water to immerse or put someone all the way under the water. And that's the same with the baptism of Jesus. It doesn't take much water to sprinkle or pour over someone, but it does if you're going to baptize them, which literally means to dip, to immerse, to submerse. This is clear from the word itself and the implication of these Bible passages. Now to the purpose of John's baptism. In general, it was two things. And we find it here in Acts chapter 19 and verses 2 and following with regard to the baptism of John. Paul said, verse 4, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Jesus." We have two elements here, two aspects of John's purpose in baptizing, to cause them to repent and to cause them to turn to Jesus. Remember that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah 43 through 5, "Make ready the way of the Lord." And we find that in Luke chapter 3 and verse 4. He was to give knowledge of salvation unto his people in the remission of their sins, Luke 1:77. He was to announce the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2. And this mission of John was accomplished. Luke 3, verse 3, "preaching the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins." A baptism of repentance means the baptism which grows out of repentance, one which is preceded by repentance. And so it's connected with repentance. They were to repent. And by the way, this was not for all people. This was for the nation of Israel. This was for the Jews. And they came repenting and confessing their sins. Mark 1, verse 5. We're putting together a lot of information from the beginning of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Confessing their sins. So repentance was prior to that baptism. Confession of sins was prior to that baptism. Okay? So, this tells us that John wanted Jews to repent and then look for the one who would come after him, who would be Jesus. And it is a mission and a work and a baptism that gets these Jews ready for Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, the subjects of John's baptism were the Jews. Those who are God's people, God's covenant people. Luke 2:77, he was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Luke 2:80. So we're talking about those Israelites who need to confess and repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins and get ready for Jesus and follow him. They must believe on him who is to come. That's found in Luke 15 and as we just read earlier in Acts 19:4. And some did that, others would not. There were some Pharisees and Sadducees who came to John and they refused. They would not bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And then last of all, the duration of John's baptism, it would last as long as he was doing it. It lasted until his mission was fully accomplished. And that mission was to prepare a people for the Lord and for his kingdom. And so he did that. And then when he died, Jesus, people were to follow Jesus. And when Jesus commissioned his baptism, that would be the baptism that would last all the way up until today. So just briefly, there's much more that could be said, of course. I wanted to mention that about John's baptism. So what we have here most likely is when Jews were baptized by John's baptism during his time, they obviously didn't need to be baptized again. But these individuals most likely were baptized after the death of Christ, after he sent out the Great Commission, and someone, maybe someone like Apollos, we read about him earlier, baptized these individuals in John's baptism when that mission had already been accomplished and it is no longer valid. So they were to be baptized in that baptism of the Great Commission. Remember, we're talking about 22 years after the giving of the Great Commission where Jesus speaks about his baptism. So these individuals then, when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the baptism that we read about in water for the remission of sins, starting on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2:38, and working all the way through these cases of baptism. They all culminate or end in baptism. And so that's what these individuals did. Now, let's make some application of that for today. Should you be baptized again? Let's ask that question. And the way you can answer that is, baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus, there are four aspects of that that have to be scriptural. And if one or more of those aspects was not scriptural in your baptism, then you need to be baptized again. Now somebody says, well, how would I know that? Well, first of all, we're going to go over those four things in just a minute. But how would you know with regard to your previous baptism? One of the best ways to do that is just simply to ask the person who baptized you, the pastor, the preacher, the individual, if you can still find that person, say, why did you baptize me? What was the purpose for it? Now, you might know already with regard to sprinkling or pouring. Maybe if that happened to you as an infant or a small child, your parents told you that you were sprinkled with water and you can take their word for it. Or you might just simply, like I said, ask the church leader who did it and they'll tell you. And then compare that with the truth of God's word. First of all, baptism in the name of Jesus must be baptism into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. This does not mean a certain set of words that is said. It's talking about being baptized into the name, into the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're baptized into a spiritual realm in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have authority over you, and you're in that relationship. It must be baptism by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in obedience to their command. It's a command, Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, baptism is. So first of all, you should be baptized again if your previous baptism was by the wrong authority. And one way to look at that is that many baptisms in denominations were based upon approval by man's voting. But no passage teaches baptism as a church ordinance to be voted on by man. And yet that is very common in some of the churches today. So if it was a baptism that came as a result of church leaders voting or authorizing your baptism, then that's the wrong authority. Number two, baptism is for the purpose of having remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Christ shed his blood for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. That doesn't mean he shed his blood because there was already remission of sins, but in order to have remission of sins. And so Acts 2:38, for the remission of sins, is just like Matthew 26:28, for the remission of sins. It's so that you can have remission of sins. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 22:16. In that way, baptism saves, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism is therefore the means of being placed into Christ. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. So, do you need to be baptized again? Well, yes, if your previous baptism was for some other reason, and it was not for the remission of sins. If it was for some other reason. And typically, baptism in denominations today is to show that you're already saved. They call it an outward sign of an inward grace. If you were baptized to show that you were already saved, friend, you were baptized for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. And you would need to be baptized again, just simply for the remission of sins. And I say baptized again, now would be a good time to make this point, and that is, unless we have been scripturally baptized, we've been put into some water, or some water has been sprinkled on us, but we have not been scripturally baptized. And so really, you should look at it this way. Do I need to be baptized scripturally for the very first time? So, if my baptism was by the wrong authority, if my baptism was for the wrong purpose, I need to be baptized scripturally and properly. And that's something, friends, that would be good to consider and look on and about today. Number three, baptism was a believer's choice. It was a believer's choice. Each person in the book of Acts was baptized because they were a penitent believer. They were old enough to believe. They were old enough to hear the gospel, to believe that, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to repent of their sins. We're talking about people who are old enough to do that. Baptism is a believer's choice. In Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, this rules out the infant whose parents chose for them to be sprinkled or have some water put on them. So, if you were not the proper subject, someone old enough to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, Romans 10:9-10, repent of your sins, Acts 2:38, believe in the Lord Jesus, Acts 8:37, confess your belief in Jesus. You see, if you're not old enough to do those things, then you need to be baptized scripturally, now that you are old enough. Obviously, you're old enough. You're hearing this. You're listening to it. You're mindful of it. Infants can do none of those things. And they do not need to be baptized. They're already safe. The kingdom of heaven is like a little child, Jesus said. And so they're innocent anyway. So number three, the proper candidate or subject for baptism is someone who is a penitent believer. And then last of all, baptism must be immersion in water. That's what the word itself means. We're buried with him in baptism, Romans 6, 3 through 5. And this shows what baptism is. The original verb, baptizo, means to immerse, to dip, to submerge. In fact, sprinkling was not even authorized in the Catholic Church until around 1311 AD. And then it was by a pope in Rome and not Scripture. Sprinkling, pouring, gives no likeness to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that Paul talks about in Romans 6, 3 through 5. We are buried with Christ in baptism. And when you bury someone in a cemetery, you don't sprinkle a little dirt on them. You don't pour dirt on them. You put them all the way under the dirt. And so, do I need to be baptized again? Yes, if my baptism was not immersion, if it was sprinkling or pouring, yes, I need to do that again. And so, friends, we ask the question, the conversion question, why were these 12 men baptized again? And we find it is because their baptism, John's baptism, was not valid at this time. They needed to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And as we close this morning, it just simply reminds us that people can be sincere, but they still need truth and they need to change. People can be sincere, but they don't have the proper knowledge yet. And that's what happened with these 12 men, and Paul helped them to see the truth of the matter. And it's not wrong to be baptized again. It's not a question of being baptized or rebaptized to join a particular church, but really to be baptized the right way for the first time. So like these 12 men, we should appreciate anyone showing us the truth so that we can conform to it immediately. And like Paul, we should not accept one's baptism if it is invalid. Always teach others the truth and baptize them right. What a great story. Like the 12, we can be true New Testament disciples when we come to the truth. And maybe this is what you need to do, friends, after hearing the truth of the matter. If we can help you to be baptized for the first time scripturally, let us help you to do that. Thank you for being with us on the program, and thank you for staying with us during this series of lessons that we've been having, and we look forward to other studies, Lord willing, in the future. Thank you, and we hope that you'll have a good day.